Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building.
Black Tie, Tyrese.
That's how we gonna start it.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, man. I just never know what this dude's gonna say, man.
Man, stop it.
He gets fired up.
I'm
like, oh, shit, what just happened?
But I know it's a super busy week. This week for you guys, gearing up for Fast and Furious 7.
Yes.
The seventh installment. I saw the clip of you jumping out of a plane with a parachute.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
Did you have to do that for real?
Nah, we was, you know, plane wasn't moving, but, you know, we was up somewhere really high when we shot the scene because they really wanted me to think and believe that we was jumping out of a plane really high.
You looked like it. You looked shook.
Yeah, it wasn't cool. I didn't really like the way the whole situation went down. You know what I mean? I actually tried to get them to, you know, shoot that with Luda instead of me, and they wasn't having it.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you didn't really have to do it, what you were scared about?
We were still up high.
Oh, gotcha.
And I'm not really a fan of heights like that.
So in real life, you would never do that?
I'd never jump out of a plane. I definitely wouldn't jump out of a plane in a car. The possibilities that a parachute would work.
Now, how did the Fast and Furious role stay fresh to you?
I mean, no two scenarios ever the same. You know what I'm saying? It's like kind of once these situations and moments and action scenes happen, or when scenes are real intense and I get to do my Roman Pierce thing and say something slick or funny to throw everything off, it's a lot of stuff happens on the set, on the fly, that could have never been written. So we just be improv and having fun with it.
Got you. Is it hard to do promo because, you know, the late, great Paul Walker?
Yeah.
You know, you go through something, you're healing, but then now you got to see him everywhere. People ask you questions about him to open up the wounds.
I mean, it's definitely prolonging our healing and closure process. I mean, none of us wanted to do promo interviews. You know, the press junket was 5 days long. You know, none of us wanted to do it, but at the end of the day, when the Walker family, his moms and father and his two brothers who ended up joining us to help us to finish the movie, since they've been so full throttle on the support, you know, it's kind of, you know, gave us, you know, the energy and the inspiration to want to rock out because, you know, we love Paul and we knew him and he was our family and our brother. We didn't grow up with them from like childhood. We didn't give birth to them. So if they're showing us how strong they are, it's giving us permission to feel a little better about moving forward and helping to close it out.
Now, what about all those comedians? Recently, they did a roast with Justin Bieber and a couple comedians took stabs at his death. How did that make you feel and the cast feel?
I can tell you right now, me and Ludacris talked about it. They should be real lucky that Ludacris was there and it wasn't me. Mm. And the crazy thing is I had just got the call to do the show. You know what I mean? They wanted me to show up, but I know Bieber, but, you know, I ain't a part of his clique or his camp like that. So I was like,
that's real.
You know, why would I go to a Justin Bieber comic roast? That's not, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't go. Mm-hmm. And when I found out that went down, it'd have been a
watch
real...
Watch up!
It got a little crazy, believe me.
Now you say they had the brothers on set. What did they do? They used like their likenesses to finish the movie?
Yeah, stunt doubles.
Yeah, they looked just like Paul. Okay, so you know, they just stepped up and made it happen on behalf of the team.
And they also used old footage from other movies as well, right? I was reading that they incorporated that somehow to make it look like
a few clips that no one has ever seen, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's a bunch of technical stuff, but, you know, he shot 85% of the movie before he, you know, his untimely death. So we appreciate all of the loves and prayers and energy from around the world for his family, specifically his daughter and us. Because, you know, I've been knowing Paul and we've been the closest of friends for 13 years. So it was rough.
It seems like with the cast, you guys are really, really close. I think with a lot of people that you do business with, it seems like you keep them close to your heart. I mean, I always see people at your house. You always invite people into your home. Why is that? Because you usually never see that.
You got a restaurant in your house, you got to invite people over.
Hookah bar, restaurant.
Hibachi grill.
You can't share the restaurant.
I need y'all to stay off my timeline just a little bit. Just a little bit. I thought y'all was busy. honestly, man, you know, anybody who knows about my childhood, I've written a couple books about it. I'm not necessarily close to my family like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I love them. They doing their thing. I'm doing my thing. But, you know, growing up in that level of dysfunction, it doesn't mean that you disconnect from the complete, idea of family. Mm-hmm. So I hang around with like-minded people. I hang around with people that I bond and connect with that I think is funny. And we have big visions and ideas that we swap in. And that's really it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think the other thing in Hollywood is that there's a lot of people that are only cool in between action and cut. And right. Then as soon as the movie is over, they don't ever connect. Dinners, bat mitzvahs, birthdays, mm-hmm. you know, nothing. It's just like, yeah, I'll see you for the sequel. And for me, when you connect with people and you bond, you just keep rocking.
But it's so weird. I'll see Vin Diesel, but then I'll see Nipsey Hussle.
If I had a movie theater in my
Russell
house
Simmons
and yes. Benihana's, I'd be inviting people over too all the time. Okay?
He's like, Now, let's talk about this.
No, y'all be just talking about shit like y'all can't afford it. Like, Envy, I know what you
well,
just
Envy,
pulled up
maybe.
In. You know what I mean? Charlamagne, I know what's happening.
Nope,
you know,
I shop at Target. Shit,
Angela, I don't really be seeing her popping like that on her
I'm
timeline, but I know y'all getting it. So, you know what I mean?
I don't think here in New York that it's that. Yeah.
But I don't invite these
There's
people
no
to my
space.
House anyway. I don't invite these guys to my house.
I've never been to either one of their homes.
I've seen pictures of Envy's wife's closet. You know what I mean? I see what's happening. It's real over there.
Now, listen, are you is you ain't playing Jon Stewart? Speaking of Instagram, you put up See You Soon, and you dressed up as the Green Lantern. Is that happening?
You know, it's some good seeds being planted, some good energy floating around. I don't want to do it because I want to, you know, be a black superhero. I just think the idea of being a superhero with one of my comic books that I love growing up, you know what I mean, would be cool. And it was actually a fan that started it. They put up some fan art. I seen it. I was like, wow, that looks crazy. And I just ran with it.
Gotcha.
I'm not campaigning for the role. It's just
it looked like
I thought this shit was fly. It does?
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
That's interesting because Michelle Rodriguez, your co-star on Fast and Furious, she said that minorities need to stop stealing all the white people's superheroes. I didn't agree with that, but what you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when she said that, a bunch of folks started tweeting and hitting me like, yo, that's not. But I'm like, look, she's entitled to her opinion. Mm-hmm. If there was a Wonder Woman role and they wanted to do it with Michelle Rodriguez, I think she would be excited to take advantage of it if the role was good and it was like something that could further her career. Mm-hmm. And you know, so I think at the end of the day, if you see it being about blacks or Latinos specifically focusing on white roles to make a statement, then that ain't right. But if it's about saying if this role is great and you want to switch up the ethnicity, then rock out. Right. I'm not going to do nothing corny. Right. I'm not doing nothing. I don't give a fuck what the role is. If it ain't good, I'm not rocking with it.
Now, Common said he wants that role, and he said he'll do a rap battle with you and Black Tie for that role.
He did not say that. Why did you make that up?
He couldn't even keep going. I don't know what y'all going to be saying.
So. Hey,
man, look. Hey, listen, he got that Oscar, man, so he might be first in line right now for anything.
Has Lee Daniels tried to
look like an Oscar. Ball and go.
Has Lee Daniels tried to hit you up to get on Empire now since you put it out there a little bit? You know, I know you were joking about Taraji Henson, but he probably was like, okay, let's do it.
I mean, look, truth be told, I was supposed to do season one of Empire, and, you know, I can't say.
Okay.
I can't say. But I will say that I was dealing with, you know, I was in and out of court, you know, fighting over my little angel, and I just landed 50-50, joint legal custody. And so I had to break the news to Lee and Taraji that I just couldn't make it. I could not go to Chicago. Mm-hmm. For 3-4 weeks at a time to shoot it when they hit me up. So we'll see what happens next season.
That's
see
how you know the money was light. He's like, I can't go for that money.
Man, it ain't no
No, it's about but his family situation. I'm sure that takes precedence over everything.
I just read something. You said you thought that your daughter was going to get kidnapped. Your baby mom was going to take her to Israel or something and never bring her back.
Look, man, we'll talk about that another time, man.
Oh, okay.
It's an ongoing situation.
Now, you see how easy, I want to say
touch
something.
It,
you see how
touch
easy
it.
That is for all you got to do is say, you talk about it another time, no comment.
Yeah, don't call up here afterwards with editing requests. Like, can y'all do me a favor, son, and take that little, you know what I mean, that little
when I
17
that question,
minutes.
When
he said yes, just put that in that spot.
You can easily say no comment. It's cool. Now, you've been in Black Hollywood for a long time. Well, yeah. No, let me rephrase that. You're black in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, Deadline did an article, and they asked the question, are ethnic castings about time or too much of a good thing? They was complaining about the ethnic people getting all the roles.
They're saying the pendulum has swung too much in the other direction, and now
white people can't get roles because the ethnic people are taking all the roles.
Hey, man, listen. Chocolate is spreading, baby. Chocolate is spreading. I just think at the end of the day, man, like, this is America, man, and everything that's happening right now is a direct reflection of America. You know what I mean? Like, we are physically walking inside of Dr. King's answered prayers, and if it's a role or an opportunity that's got our name on it, then it's for us. It's not about the fact that it's black people that's doing it. It's about the fact that it makes sense for the role and the opportunity to come to us. Mm. If y'all rocking and the roles are for you, you should never force black people into anything that they don't belong in. Mm-hmm. So I just think at the
they
end of the
did
day,
that back in the day when they took us from Africa, put us on the slave ship.
I think at the end of the day, instead of us reacting to that particular article, you know, it's really about the person who wrote it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're reflecting their own insecurities and their own racist views out, and they're using Deadline as a platform, which is not cool. So I think whoever's running Deadline, they should start getting some pre-approvals of all of the articles that that person is writing, because I'm sure they're catching a lot of heat right now.
Absolutely.
Now, I meant to ask you, Tyrese, I consider you a boss. A couple of weeks ago, we had Dame Dash up here, and he was talking about that if you have a job, you have no dignity, and he doesn't, and saving is for suckers. And right. That bothered me because I started off having
I noticed.
A job. You know,
I noticed. I text y'all about it. Shout out to Dame Dash. It was definitely on 10 up here.
It was amazing.
He was sitting in this seat right now, too. It's like, oh.
But you know, how do you feel about what he said about being a boss and people that have jobs?
Listen, man, first of all, shout out to Dame, man. No one can deny what he's done in history and contributed to hip hop on all of these different levels. I just think, you know, not making it about Dame specifically, but anybody who gets loud and aggressive when they're trying to make any point, you're going to set people up to listen with a different ear.
Right. Mm.
And I think, you know, he can be a little mean and condescending sometime when he talk or how he talks, and it can make people get on edge and offended about, you know, his approach to communicating. And so it stops people from getting some of his points. He was trying to make some points. And I was able to trance, because I get along with difficult people that are loud with big personalities. I get that.
Envy doesn't get along with
him. So for me, I got all of his points. Mm-hmm. I got it. I just think his approach threw people off. Every time anybody tried to get a word in, he was trying to be the king. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know. I was like, I'm just sitting here and listening to what he's saying. It doesn't matter what I say.
But what do you think about people with jobs? Does that mean you have
no
dignity?
Listen, man, listen. There's always a captain. There's always a leader. There's always the entrepreneur and CEO. And there's always people on the team that helps the vision come to life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Every boss needs day-to-day people in place to help move the vision and move the needle on whatever that vision is. I mean, they say, look, you're either gonna create your own dreams and opportunity, or you're gonna be waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning helping to move the needle on somebody else's dream. So it's a choice. And that's, again, we're not talking about the 50s. You know, we're talking about 2015, where you can go from being a limo driver to the chairman and CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Absolutely.
And so at the end of the day, you have to have people that work with you and for you, outside of you being a boss.
You know, it's funny, man. I had a kid tell me, you talk about an intern can go from intern to CEO. When does that happen?
All the time.
I said, nigga, read a book.
Absolutely, yeah. Read a few books and have
David
a golden
Geffen
seat.
David Geffen went from working in the mailroom.
Yeah, there we go.
From him
owning Geffen Records and buildings. And
yeah, from his terminology, you wouldn't be a boss because you work for a movie company and they pay you, so you have no dignity.
These guys are still upset about that.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah. it's you definitely exposing your life. You definitely, his light skin issues is really on the forefront.
Dave, we got to get you back up here.
We need a part two, Dame Dash.
Stop.
Quick.
All right, now let's talk about your music. You actually rented a mansion in Arizona and had a bunch of songwriters, producers, and everybody come and work, and you did 150 songs?
You've been doing that, though. I've been there a long time.
R&B boot camps is what I like to call it. But for this particular project, because it is my last solo album,
Black Rose, right?
Yeah, Black
you
Rose.
With that? Like, for real?
Bro.
Last album?
The man got a restaurant, a Benihana's in his backyard. Okay, he's good.
Yeah, this is it for me, man. I just think the music game is very different. I mean, when you really think about it, most of the people that's been in it for many years, they can tour for the rest of their life off of their catalog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jay-Z, whoever, these cats don't got to drop albums every single year to stay relevant. They can just rock out. Because even if you were to go to like a Janet Jackson concert, if she dropped a new album this year, you would like her new song, but you would look forward to Rhythm Nation.
We want
to
hear those. Right. Yeah.
You want to hear, you know, anytime, any place. You want to hear the songs that you love. So I just think at the end of the day, because the game is very different, you know, I felt like a double album with a documentary, a book, my first audio book, and a movie that I just did with my, you know, starring myself and Jennifer Hudson, which is a musical short film, 23 minutes, directed by Paul Hunter. I just feel like I need to give the fans more than enough content as I, you know, gracefully bow out of music. Man, now, I'm still going to sing.
Right.
But it's my last solo album.
What, all right, good, what up with TGT?
Yeah, we gonna get back to it.
Who the boss of TGT?
I'm definitely the CEO of TGT. Now, they don't work for me.
Got you.
But you the boss.
I'm a businessman. You know what I'm saying? And they're talented. Those are my guys. They run businesses on whatever level. But, you know, I was definitely locked in with Kaiser and the label on a business level outside of being an artist.
What's your relationship like with Ginuwine? Because it seemed like y'all cool, but then it's like a Nino Brown, Christopher Williams, and New Jack City thing going on.
It's all love. He's very distant. I mean, me and Tank hook up and connect way more often than G. But I think me and Tank are a little closer in complexion. You know what I'm saying?
So that's why.
If Envy was in the group, they would probably hang out way more often. Cause they could talk about the same type of shit. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Sunblock. And, you know what I'm saying?
You should always wear sunblock, though, even when you're black.
No, I've never worn sunblock in my life.
You're supposed to.
Cancer.
I hear you. I hear you. You know what I'm saying? I know you got a little skin situation going on. So,
Tyrese called me deep. Like, yo, this is my brother. Fire your makeup artist. I don't got no makeup on. He was like, so what's going on? Like, I'm going to see a dermatologist. And I actually read in Tyrese's book about, you know, bettering yourself, because there was a point where you felt like you was getting fat and you wanted to get in shape.
Right.
So I started bettering myself. And he was like, nah, put the black stuff back on your face. That's your trademark. That's my trademark.
He went and got that Michael Jackson kit.
I'm like,
hold on, man. But go back. Easy, oh, man. Goodness. I mean, I know you look up to Envy and y'all brothers, but why you trying to join him? Why are you trying to look like your co-stars right there? Like, what's that? Yeah, put the black stuff back on, man. I mean, you know what I mean? At first, I was shot like, man, appreciate you contributing to the chocolate movement. Next thing you know, he light-skinned. I'm like, yo, I don't know what's happening right
there. There was a meme online. Somebody put an old picture of me, and a new picture said, when you scrape the toe.
Yeah.
I seen that. I was like, look, for me, I was about to cut. I was taking a screenshot of that self. Like, yo, let me go easy. It's love.
Back to the music now. Now, you said you're giving this music up. The reason I ask is usually artists give music up when they're washed. But you're still making records that are nominated at the Grammy. So so why? Like, you know, it keeps you out there with the kids. TGT is not going to be the kids. They, you know, the
not only am I 50-50 joining legal custody of my 7-year-old, which changes my priorities. Mm-hmm. When I leave the house, it's got to be worth it, for one.
Gotcha.
For two, I think the worst thing you can do as an investor, as a businessman, is not realize when things or people or situation has reached this peak.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it's over. It just means as a boxer, you really think you got 4 more fights coming up because your whole camp is convinced you the champ, you the man.
Right.
So you're making investments based on money that you think is on the way.
Gotcha.
And so the worst thing you can do is not realize when you reach your peak. You know what I'm saying? So for me, again, with the amount of content that I'm about to drop, you know what I mean, the album's coming July 7th, I feel like the fans are going to love it. You know what I mean? It's my most transparent album. It's my most honest. It's almost like my confessions album.
Like the first song you put out, Dumb-ish.
Yeah.
You put a lot of confessions into that and owned up to some mistakes that you made.
That was like a continuation of Stay. Stay with me, you stayed, and I'm still doing Dumb-ish.
So all Envy's thinking about is, in case he messes up with his wife, he needs to know, are you going to still be available?
I got Tyrese on speed dial. I will call Tyrese.
Have y'all ever told that story about Tyrese?
No.
Saved your marriage?
Yeah, he continues to save my marriage. Okay, Every time I will call Tyrese in a minute.
This is true.
4 in the morning, 5 in the morning.
Can you please talk to my wife and tell her?
No, it got real. I mean, I probably, That was first of all, let's be real, because we ain't gonna go into the whole thing because I ain't do it to talk about it. It was just love.
Sure.
I know that it was an assignment that the man upstairs. It was random as hell, but it was an assignment that was sent to me. Like, yo, do what you got to do to step in and try and save the man's marriage. And I, you know, not as Superman or nothing, but I just did my thing. And I was at dinner. With Envy and his wife, and then his wife is just sweet and beautiful and just cool as ever, and she said, you know, Rashawn is just such a, and I was like, oh, his name is Rashawn. It's like, I was saying, who are we talking about?
Yeah. You're cheating on Envy with Rashawn.
That just goes to show you that, you know, my motivation wasn't about spins or trying to get any press from it. It was like a genuine assignment that was sent. It was random as hell, but I'm obedient. I'm always on the other side of assignments as a blessing waiting for you.
Now,
so,
I'm explaining now that so people out there. Now, I was going through a situation with my wife. Me and Tyrese knew each other, but we weren't friends. We were cordial.
No
like
way.
Most artists.
He said, no way.
Yeah, I got to say it like that.
No, we wasn't. We wasn't childhood friends. I'm just letting everybody know we don't go way back 20 years.
Right. So, you know, Tyrese heard my I guess, my story and my pain, me talking about my wife, and called me one day and was like, man, you know, are you all right? And I'm like, no, I'm not all right. And, we talked and I explained to him what was going on, and he basically talked me off the roof. You know what I mean? He helped me out with the relationship.
The ledge,
he spoke
sir.
The ledge. Look at the ledge.
He could jump off the roof, too.
Ledge.
It was the roof at my house. It was the roof at my house. It was the ledge there. So he basically talked to me, talked to my wife, and he did something special. I had a dinner set up at Philippe Chow's, and dinner with my wife, and Tyrese walked in singing Stay. He had a guitarist and a couple other people with
I had
him.
Three
singers,
my guitar.
Nice. Yeah. You put on a concert.
Yeah, it was real. I was like, it was full throttle. I was like, yo, we're going to save this marriage.
Right, but it was no cameras. It was no video. Like, it wasn't made for a world star. It wasn't made for TV.
World star.
He did it for me and my wife, sat down, had dinner with us, and basically became our counselor and our friend throughout everything that goes on. So if there's a problem or if there's a situation, if whatever it is, you know, we call Tyrese, and he's one of those friends. And I think every relationship should have.
Is Gia able to call
friend.
Him without you?
Shit, they talk on the phone hours.
Yeah, we've done 6-7 hours.
6-7 hour conversations
on the phone.
Just talking about life and different things.
And then of course, as cool as we are,
way more than you do. I know all that was going on.
As close as we are, I kept it real with him. Like when his wife would just open up and just like tell me. I'll be like, yo, I got love for you, dog, but this ain't right. And I just would keep it real. And then I would keep it real with her, too. And that's it. Again.
What if she's after, like, I'm in love with Tyrese?
After, no, that would never happen.
That could
never
happen. Now.
No, it's not going to happen.
Girls fall in love with the counselor all the time, the therapist all the time.
After, this is when I knew it was real as far as an assignment, because after it felt like everything got better, I was like, I was out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's, you know, I'm like, yo, Envy, you got it. Mm-hmm. Felt like, you know, but that was 6 months.
But that was definitely sent from a high power. This is a great segue
into my next question, because people always see you online and you're super positive. You're always giving the motivational quotes. But then you have people who may not know you be like, man, Tyrese full of shit.
Right.
What do you got to say to them? Because that's really you.
Well, I am full of shit. I am. I mean, it's well, you should believe that. No, I'm just playing. The truth is, we all have this God-given stage, right? And who are we to not use the stage to motivate and inspire and give people insight and information on how to be successful? When you think about it, there's a lot of people out here that are broke, struggling, you know, really, really, really down and out, but gifted and talented, naturally beautiful, not trying to be ratchet or do nothing ratchet, you know, sex tapes and nothing crazy to make it. And they're desperate for insight and information. What do I do? How do I go about doing it to become successful? So it's not lonely at the top if you help somebody else get there. Mm-hmm. So instead of me looking at it as an opportunity to tweet a post, I look at it as a responsibility, because if they're looking up to me and they're following me, then instead of me just talking about all this amazing shit I got going on in my life and dangling my lifestyle in everybody's face, I'm trying to give you permission to be great. Mm. I'm saying, like, I'm not insecure or threatened by the idea of pulling somebody up.
Right.
Now, I don't need to see you every day. I don't need you to thank me. You know, thank God. I'm just giving you insight and information saying, you know, there is a way to rock out. If somebody had did it for me, I felt like I would have been successful even faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't pay everybody's bills. Right. I can't Don't call me playing on my emotions, trying to get me to cut a check. That ain't gonna happen, mm-hmm. right? But I got some insider information that I can drop on you to pull up. And I think a lot of times you'll find, and we all know this to be true, there's so many dudes out here that are so insecure and threatened by the idea that I can say something, help you out, make a phone call, give you some insight, and see you become a multimillionaire overnight. And they like, yo, I want to be the only one balling. I want to be the only one doing it. So they just don't help out.
Right.
So that ain't me. So that's it. And you're not going to agree with everything I tweet and post. My shit gets uncomfortable sometimes. Yeah. It's a lot, but I'm dropping
people,
it.
And people don't see that side of you. You genuinely help people, and not just with, like you said, with money and give backs. Your word sometimes can really help somebody because people came from the same spot that you came from. And that the fact that you're successful and you do that, a lot of people appreciate that. I appreciate it.
I like the fact you're not afraid to share your POV at the level you at. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of people that's in your position doing these blockbuster movies wouldn't keep it 100 all the time.
Yeah, it's
true.
What
I'm saying? Like when I'm not going to name the comedian's name because he don't need no publicity, but you know what I'm saying? When he came at you, accused you of sleeping with Mel Rose, you could have just ignored that.
Yeah.
But it feel like you shut it down for a bigger purpose.
Well, I mean, for me, listen, man, like I said in that particular video, I will never allow any situation to compromise my spirituality or sexuality in order for me to get to whatever's considered the next level. It's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. I've been at it for 20 years. I don't have nobody coming at me about no devil worshiping, no Illuminati, no secret society. I don't know nothing about it ever. And if I did, I'd talk about it.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you know, I can sit back and deal with rumors. I can deal with people talking shit and coming up with random ass things because we're in the business. You know what I mean? And when you're successful, they're going to come at you. But you're not going to come at my manhood. That ain't going to I'm not going to fall back and let that fly.
I just felt like it was whack because when we black people come up, we just can't never do it because we're talented. We believe in God. It always got to be, oh, he's Illuminati. Oh, he's gay. Right. Like,
I mean, most people don't even know what Illuminati
they just
is.
Hear it. It's just hear like, people saying it
just seems to be
it.
Popular. Like, it might be the outfit that I'm wearing right now and the shape of my
it's
neck
nice
that
outfit.
Gets me tired. Appreciate it.
Now, I got to ask you, did you really fire your assistant? After you had that outfit on?
Tyrese
had on a tracksuit.
Yo, I really don't want to talk about this.
And he had on some dress shoes.
Cowboy boots.
He had on Rev Run really? Adidas tracksuit with Rev Run church shoes.
And he tried to blame it on his assistant.
Yeah, it's true.
That his outfit wasn't laid out properly.
Yo, he put the Adidas tracksuit in there with no Adidas shoes. And I had to wear the only shoes I had. I wasn't going to go to the station with socks on.
That might have been better.
I told them not to put my feet on camera, man. I told them, like, leave that alone, but whatever.
In 2015, you think they was going to listen? That meme was too good to pass. Somebody had to take that.
Yeah, I seen you take flight on it.
So did you really fire your assistant after that?
Yeah, he's out of here.
Damn it, man.
One little mistake.
Nah, that's a big mistake. You know what I'm saying? You know, everywhere I go, there's cameras. You can't be out here having me looking crazy.
Did a fan really bring you to the station from the airport that day?
Absolutely. A fan wow. drove me 6 hours from San Francisco to L.A. So I wouldn't miss that interview. Another personal situation. When mm-hmm. Big Boy that's left crazy. Power, mm-hmm. he was down, you know, miserable, just kind of not in a good space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's my dude for too many years. So I'm just giving him all his love and his energy. You think I'm going to miss my first interview as he go to a new station? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. So I'm like, yo, I missed my flight. They say I land at 6:40. The interview's at 7. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss it.
Big
so I put it up.
Too. He need to be playing dumb shit 100 miles per hour. You was in there with Adidas tracksuit and hard bottom.
I know.
He drove with a fan. So you put on Twitter, I need somebody to take me. And somebody asked you got in a car with somebody?
I got in a car with a random fan that I met on social media. Did
boy,
6 hours.
Dangerous.
I mean, my security was laid out in the back seat. We was in a Prius, but we got there.
It was a Prius?
It's this app you can download. You may have heard of it. It's called Uber.
Listen, I'm cheap as hell. I'm not doing Uber. I'm not doing
did
Uber
you pay for gas,
from San Francisco to LA.
Yes.
Listen, I took care of dude. I got him $1,000. I surprised him, put $1,000 under his pillow, gave him a suite, and he got plenty
Uber.
Of sleep. Nah, it was love. I mean, the thing is, dude was just cool. He's like, man, I'm out of a job. I ain't got no girlfriend. I'm a big fan. I didn't know, but he was at the surprise screening of Furious 7 in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So when I put the tweet up, he was like, I just left the screening. didn't meet, he never met me there.
Yeah.
And then I put up the tweet and he was like, dude, I just left the screening. I'll take you. I was, you know, so I took care of
him. And clear that up for you too, because you said you put $1,000 under his pillow. I can see the comments right now.
Well, when he got
to
his,
literally pillow.
Then we got
no,
to the,
when
he got
to his hotel room, I got him a suite
so he can
sleep.
Got you.
And I told him, you know, look under your pillow, man. It's a little surprise there for you. And I gave him a stack, and he was very grateful.
After you put out the song Dumbish, did your ex call you and say, you know, you did mess up, but I thank you for...
Well, I mean, can we talk about some dumb shit for a quick second?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did I say Dumbish, though?
I'm sorry, Dumbish, mm-hmm. right? So this song, again, this is like my confessions album. I'm mm-hmm. like, if I'm going to bow out of music and give folks my last solo album, it ain't a PR stunt, it's really my last. I'm like, yo, I want it to be my most uncomfortable, vulnerable, and honest album. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was in a relationship for a bunch of years on the low. I had a live-in girlfriend, and I just was slipping up, man. I was on the road, making moves. I got exposed. She went through my DMs and... just, you know, it was wrong. And I don't feel good about it, but, you know, my situation is over. So I said, you know what, it's fresh on my heart, I gotta sing about it. So, you know, all of the fake people that are perfect, that don't cheat, don't lie, you know, we drinking smart water, driving smart cars, but we doing dumb shit. Mm. As you know, it is what it is. And so even though I'm calling this man, trying to help him save his marriage, I'm also not perfect. So at the end of the day, you know, I just felt like I just want to do an honest song. And it's an honest song that everybody can relate to. When relationships end, it's not always just a man. Women be doing a lot of dumb shit. Mm. Dumb-ish.
You've been relatively...
You know, Angela?
You've been relatively clean in your career, though. Like, I mean, the article I saw that, you know, recently where your ex-wife said you used to abuse is like the first thing I ever saw that seemed negative about you.
Yeah, chop that out. Charlamagne, you a real journalist. Chop that shit out. That shit is never gonna make the f-ing cut. Okay? And a curse all over the f-ing cursing all over that shit. This.
I'm not having it, man.
I don't want to talk about that, man. We moving on.
Got you.
Now, chop that out. Thank you.
Now, Taraji, final cut. Never put a ring on Taraji's finger, man. She said that she's never claimed no man publicly because no man's ever put a ring on her finger. And it always seemed like y'all two are the one to be together.
Listen, man, I think the world is determined to get me and Taraji together because they love baby boy.
Jody and Yvette.
It's almost like Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams from The Notebook. It's like they just they can't get it out their head that we're together. And I love it. You know what I mean? I think it says a lot about that chemistry and that vibe. Taraji, I'm proud of her, man. She's killing the game right now. But no one who knows her is surprised. At what's happening and all of the energy around Empire, anything that's happening in career. But
all y'all ever did was make out, basically.
He ain't say that.
I read that you said y'all never even dated.
Nah, we ain't never date.
But you're a man, though. I know you wanted to smash. She thick like a kindergarten pencil, bro.
What? What was that?
April 3rd.
Yes.
Black Roses, July 7th.
Yes.
And we appreciate.
Make sure y'all run to iTunes right now. I just want to put this out there. Mm-hmm. Get to iTunes, download my dumb single. It's featuring Snoop. Shout out to my man Wiz Khalifa who rocked with us in the video. Who also, you know, what I'm saying, was
you
out there.
You canceled him, I'm sure, as well.
What happened?
I said, I'm sure you had some talks with him about his recent.
We ain't talk yet. You know what I mean?
I'm putting pressure on Envy and Big Boy now because I didn't know you was out here doing all this type counseling.
It's love, man.
Yeah,
I'm not
cool.
A therapist. I'm just a dude that's got a little insight in there for me. I'll be trying to help out.
Playing
you good,
dumb shit
man.
Is love, too.
I support my brother.
Get to iTunes, download. I'm an independent artist. I left all the majors. It's an independent hustle, so all them downloads count. It makes, you know, it's a lot of love. Also, check out the video, man. I want y'all to go online and check out the video. My man Snoop, you know what I mean? I didn't want Snoop lying in the video. I wanted the OG Snoop Dogg that we all
Snoop
love
too, yeah.
With the fishnet, the Pendleton, the Dickies, the Chucks. We went back to the throwback Snoop. So y'all check out, you know what I mean? My next single is called Shame that I'm going to definitely drop off on y'all. The movie is a musical short film where I'm playing like Ike Turner, Teddy, and Marvin Gaye, an abusive soul singer from 1968. It's one of the most uncomfortable movies me and Jennifer Hudson has ever done, directed by Paul Hunter. So we got a lot of stuff coming out. And in my mind, I said, you know what? If it's going to be my last album, a double album, a documentary, a book, my first audio book, and a movie is more than enough content to unleash on the world. It's coming 7/7/15, and it's called Black Rose. So I just appreciate all the fans that's been rocking with me from day dot. And I hope y'all love it.
And don't forget, Furious 7 takes over Revolt Live, featuring interviews with the entire cast, performances by Luda, Wiz Khalifa, and more from the Furious 7 soundtrack. That happens Wednesday, April 1st at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Revolt TV and Revolt.tv. Now, also, I know you come to New York, might be bored, but don't ever go to a Knicks game. It was a waste of time. They lost by 31.
Hey, duh, listen, the Clippers won, that's right? Right? Yeah. So I'm this West Coast, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I went there to go see all my loved ones. Derek Fisher's my dude. You know, he's West Coast,
you
too. So
I,
it's a lot of.
You know how you should kill him? Sit courtside, Adidas tracksuit, hard bottoms, fresh.
Yo, listen, my light skinned homie, chill out.
Tyrese is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.